hearings of the Finance Committee. The first order of business on the agenda is review the Department of County Clerk and the Elected Services beginning at page 282. Mary?
Good evening. Not much has changed in my budget from this year to last year, except for our election cycle. This year we have four elections, so we're at $65,000 budgeted, which we may end up being over a little bit, but we're hoping not. So we're dropping down that budget. Other than that, everything pretty much is status quo and stayed the same. We did raise the revenues a little bit for passports, but other than that, it's pretty much the same as the 2018 budget.
And elected services budget,
Oh, that's mine too. I didn't know if you wanted to approve one or
the
other.
Okay, is there any discussion on county clerk?
Move it approved.
Second. Discussion. Jeff.
So the $45,000 drop in election supplies is because of the number of elections?
Correct.
What does an election cost on average, roughly?
Well, it depends. It's you know, you got to figure in the ballots what kind of election it is. Like this year election cycle, we're going to print up more ballots than we would in a primary or a spring election. So our ballots is our major cost because we do a lot of our in-house programming now. But we do charge back to the other municipalities when we can. But I would say average, they're $20,000 to $30,000, somewhere around there.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion, County Clerk. All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
The elected officials office is our satellite office out of 45 and 50.
That's at page 300.
301.
301, okay.
We have one budgeted employee there. Most of her costs is a few expenses, office supplies and that. That really didn't change much. Generally, most of it goes back into the general fund, except for office supplies. We try to keep it supplied out there well. But other than that, no changes there either.
Second.
Discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Very good, thank you. And
all right.
Register B at 294.
Hello everyone. Again, this is a pretty typical budget for the Register of Deeds office, so not any big changes over last year. I am proposing a slight increase in revenue due to the increase in the value of real estate in the county. Property sales aren't what we'd like to see them. There's a shortage of housing for people to buy, so as that corrects itself, we'll see an increase in sales. Our equalized value in the county has increased, so my revenue due to transfer fees has increased. That's why you're seeing a modest increase primarily in revenue. Expenses are typical for, you know, for a county. That's what you would expect, a moderate increase. Overall, I have a negative impact of this year of an additional $45,000 on the levy.
Motion approved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion, anyone? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. And then the treasury. That would be two page 288.
Good evening, everyone. All right, so starting right off. On the expense side, I think probably the thing that you might not understand is the reduction in the amount that we're budgeting for taxes of $8,000 from $10,000 to $2,000. If you remember last year or the year before, we talked that there had been some state law changes that really limited the amount of chargebacks people could do for personal property taxes, and we're kind of seeing the fruit of that labor, so that's why that reduction. And in turn, we're increasing the tax deed expense because the tax deed expenses have gone up. The cost for doing that is a replenishing budget item. So sometimes it goes up and sometimes it comes down depending on how much money we get when we sell properties or when people pay off their taxes. So it's up and down a lot there. Probably the big changes monetary wise are on the revenue side. Barna did his magic that he does with what he thinks we're going to be getting. And he believes that we're still going to be able to get about the same amount that we're going to end up getting this year, next year. We had budgeted 630, but it looks like we're going to be closer to 730 this year on interest on penalty for delinquent taxes. And we had budgeted 1.2 million, and we believe we'll be closer to 1.4 million on the interest. So what he's doing is he's keeping the penalty at 730,000 for next year and 1.3 million for interest on delinquent taxes. And then on the other side, that's the bigger jump, is the interest on general fund investments. We had 160,000, which was an increase over the previous year in the budget for this year, but it's looking like we're going to be closer to about 350,000 this year. And he believes that will continue to go up next year and has estimated $450,000. So those are probably the big dollar changes. Any other questions?
John?
Yeah, we talked earlier, but I want to let the rest of the committee hear about what you said about the interest on.
Yep. Oh, sure. Most of our money is fairly liquid at this point in the state investment pool, which we've seen a significant increase there, up to about 2% in September. We're getting returns on that. Dana is our longer-term stuff that we're doing investing in. While that's about $8 million we have in that account, that's getting right now closer to 8%. On the return, but then we have some other ones that are about 1.5%. So where our money is placed, we average about 1.77 right now on return on investments. So the interest rates are definitely helping us as they're increasing. And then also with the new ERP system, one of the things we hope to achieve at some point when we get everything in place is a better handle on the flow of money. And see if we can put some stuff out a little longer than we're able to now, once we kind of get everybody into the habit of putting accurate dates on when money has to be spent and when we're going to get money in. So in the future, we hope to get a better look at that. But right now, this number is based pretty much on the interest rate increase that we're seeing on our investments. So.
All right, further discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, any other discussion, anyone? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Human resources. Bob or Clara?
We worked on this together.
It's all the right. Dynamic duo tonight.
Just left for a
while. The sheriff kind of
We gotta get a shirt made
we're
up.
We're gonna start at page 324, right?
Oh my god.
324.
324?
Go to I.
All right, the changes in the 2019 HR. Budget really reflect the reorganization effort that this committee and the board approved in the spring of 2018. It reflects the two additional FTEs, which will be acting as HR generalists. We'll be calling them HR business partners. In 2019, our department will consist of myself, an HR specialist, and an assistant working out of this building. Our assistant director, who will be centered at Brookside, we'll have a business partner at the job center, a business partner at the county center, and a business partner at the safety building. So that is why you'll see the chargebacks, how they are 60% of the business partners and the directors are charged to the departments that they serve. And then the remaining 40% of those salaries and 100% of the specialists and assistant are charged back across departments based on the number of FTEs in those departments. So that's how it's being allocated there. And keeping in mind 50% of the specialist is charged to the health insurance budget because of their focus on benefits. And then 50% of the HR business partner who specializes in worker compensation is charged to that budget. So that's how we're kind of moving that around. Other than some minor increases to office supplies and staff development related to larger staff, other changes I would bring your attention to are in the countywide budget. We've got a $200,000 adjustment to the HR countywide budget under salaries. This is where we budget for vacancies. Actual in the last 4 years hasn't come close to the $700,000 that we've been budgeting there, so we've reduced that. We'd like to think it's a result of our focus on retention and continuing to maintain our recruitment quality and improving efficiencies in recruitment. Countywide temporary budget has been increased by $16,000. This account is used to support the temporary needs of various departments as they arise and as projects continue, including Circuit Court and Treasurer's Office. The testing and examinations budget is increased by $20,000. This we've seen in actuals increasing. I believe it's primarily driven by the CCE program, which we've talked about. We talked about it a bit last night. Those candidates, we do testing, we do physicals. The Sheriff's Department does background checks for them. We do job traits assessments. So those are some extensive recruitment processes, and that costs a little bit of money. So we needed to increase that budget. Employee recruitment, we've dropped that down $10,000. We're using a lot of no-cost, low-cost online type of media for that. We really only experience a few positions that need more costly type of advertising, so we've reduced that a bit. You'll see in the tuition reimbursement account, we've bumped that up significantly. That's been driven by demand. We're budgeting for about 2% of our employees to take advantage of that program, so that's reflected there. This year, we saw great use of that program. We had to stop taking requests at one point late this year because we just maxed out our budget. So we want to continue to be able to provide that to employees who are looking for it. It's a significant benefit that we can offer employees. The money we used to increase that account, we actually kind of moved it over from the other professional services, so you'll see a reduction there. Now that we've completed our senior leadership training with Living as a Leader, we're able to dial that back a bit, but we continue to do leadership training. We train mid-level managers and supervisors, and we'll have a couple of refresher sessions for our senior level managers as well. So we want to continue to develop our leadership and keep that strong.
Yeah, so you borrowed the money, or you moved the money from the professional services like you just stated. Are we gonna have a shortfall at the end on that as we do the leadership training and the other thing?
We shouldn't. I believe we budgeted accordingly. As I said, we dialed back Living as a Leader costs a bit because we're done with that senior level training. Okay. So we were able to dial it back.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also too like the idea of that tuition reimbursement by cultivating our people and our staff to help keep them here for retention purposes and develop our future leaders of this county. So kudos for that program. Thank you.
It's wonderful.
It's also a benefit that our millennials are really looking for as well.
Would you like to talk about health insurance deductibles for employees?
Is that coming up as the next section? Do you want us to vote on this section by? So you're done with this section,
the
is that correct?
The divisional budget, right.
All right, and then the insurance comes next or what?
Well, we've got civil service next in the book, workers' comp, and then health insurance. But okay. Whatever order you're comfortable.
All right. We'll take it up in a moment if that's okay. Anything else then on this particular area? Yes.
So I tried to follow where you were saying that the money was going, but through the chair, maybe Barney, you would know this 900 or this, you know, this money went away. We adopted 92, and now we're negative 130. I'm looking at right at the personnel. So the personnel was moved around, and I followed that with what she said.
It's 324.
324 in the book. So you tell me where the money, you said it all got moved over to a certain spot and you cut this number down, is that what? Can you explain?
The charge backs
yeah.
to the departments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that show up in each department then?
Right.
Like as a charge in each department?
Right.
So I'm trying to make
expenses
sure I know where this money actually is. Okay. All right, thank you. I'm good.
All right, anything else?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? On this section, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, next is your Civil Service Commission, which is page 27.
328, actual.
So, Civil Service Commission is committed to ensuring that we've got an equitable and successful recruitment process for our sworn staff. Little changes with this budget other than every other year we do an additional $5,000 to in contractual services for testing for our hiring of sworn staff.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion, anyone? I'm seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Opposed? All right, next would be insurance.
Well, we can talk about workers' compensation.
All right, go ahead.
Overall, the amount charged to departments has gone down by $5,000.
Where is your workers' comp section? 370?
370, yeah.
Yeah, we've gone down.
Yeah, the amount charged back to the department. So at the bottom of 371, you'll see workers' comp insurance revenue. So that's what the departments are paying toward that. It's actually gone down in 2018. Salaries for this include the halftime salary for our business partner, as I mentioned, that focuses on workers' compensation. That's Ashley Letterman. She manages our workers' compensation claims. So you've got that piece. You'll see an increase to our other professional services account. We are hoping to do some ergonomic training for staff, ergonomic training and evaluations that we'll offer countywide. We think that's an important preventive piece. Claims have increased simply based on actual experience, actual expected. We've reduced lost wages based on actual. We didn't see a need to keep it as high as it was. We bumped up protective equipment. We do this in a cycle that's to purchase new protective vests. And then we get to our excess insurance. That's our reinsurance, and that premium has gone up $4,000. We're anticipating more in stop loss reimbursement for 2019, and our equity interest in WIMIC produces interest income for us, so that is also contributing to our reduction in what departments are charged to us.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion on workers' comp.
Yes, Mike. Why you're able to see a little bit of decrease in the workers' comp, if the claims have gone up? Is it just, what have you guys been doing to show that reduction? I believe in cost, if I was
What gets charged back
but
to the
department? But the charges were up a little bit. Obviously, they were.
Sure. We do get stop loss reimbursement. We're expecting that to be higher in 2019. And then we've got an increase in interest income that comes
okay.
back.
That's
so
right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
It's offsetting those increases.
Any further? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Right, that passes. What's next?
Health insurance.
All right, and page.
Well, really good news. 2018 is trending toward a small surplus, which, as I understand it, over the last couple of years, the county has had some large deficits, so I'm sure that is a welcome change. For 2019, looking ahead, we are budgeting for about $1 million increase. A third of that is attributed to new positions. As I'm sure you've noted, we have some personnel changes that we're requesting and recommending. When we do fill new positions, full-time positions, we obviously have to budget for health insurance as well. 20% of that is our census adjustments, and then the balance of that increase is a 3% increase in costs. We've got to account for healthcare inflation, as I'm sure you're all aware. Doesn't get cheaper to provide healthcare, unfortunately. Despite healthcare inflation, which is usually higher for prescription drugs, you'll note that we're budgeting flat for prescription for 2019 prescription claims because of the anticipated savings from a move to serve you as our new pharmacy benefit manager.
Where did we move it to?
Serve you?
Yes.
It's they're actually based in Wisconsin. Their formulary and more rebate dollars that are going to be passed along to us, along with their mail order center being located here in Wisconsin, we anticipate $350,000 to $500,000 in savings from that move.
Wow.
You said new positions. How many are there?
In the personnel changes, I believe the overall is 18.5 FTEs. That's countywide.
Can you give us by department where that comes? I know you have a couple of here.
I would refer you to that summary 26 and 27.
Page 26 and 27?
In the summary section.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a summary of budgeted
personnel
changes. So, is this your plan on these reclassifications, for example, to go over those now or some other time, or what do you?
Well,
what was your plan for that?
Whatever pleases the committee. We can do it this evening. We can do it Thursday evening. Whatever.
The thought was each department would present each one of their
right.
By Thursday,
changes.
Every department will.
By Thursday, everyone will have cycled through and the plans to go through again. As necessary.
So the plan was. I understand what their thought was. Do you want to do it that way, or do you want to also do at the end take a look at the 18 and a half positions as a whole? You see what they are. There are also reclassifications. What was your intent there?
The reclassifications?
Yeah, nobody's presented any reclassifications per budget.
Those are various reasons.
Generally speaking, in the past, you have presented that to the committee. We've said yes or no. Is that what you're planning to do tonight?
We've historically presented it on Thursday night.
Thursday night? Okay.
Because all the departments will come through. They will make their presentations. I know you heard about a couple last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will bring their changes. Explain them to you, and if there are any questions, then we will be there Thursday to answer.
Okay, because the sheriff, for example, only mentioned the elimination, two new sergeants. One was the elimination by a corporal, and one new position. But I see, if you look under sheriff, there are considerably more new positions than two sergeants. We'll talk about it Thursday, but I think that what we would like to do, I would suggest, then we take one more look at these, because I don't see that, for example, sheriff, district attorney talked about new positions there at all.
Those are reclasses.
All right, reclasses. Yeah. We didn't talk about that. I'm looking at the added positions.
Yes, the net.
I see that. Okay. Well, we'll flag that for Thursday with reclassification, two positions and eliminated positions. So,
all right. Very good.
Prepared on that. But, all right. Go ahead.
All right. Employees are being asked to contribute an additional 3% as well. So we anticipate claims going up 3%. We're proposing that employees will be contributing an additional 3% in their premiums.
So what is that total employee contribution? 3+ equals what?
So...
Yes.
I have some handouts here which might explain something too.
Okay.
Depends on that.
So this is from you, John?
This is not
your suggestion. But just going back to the your budget. So when you say employee contribution increase 3% of what?
So employee premiums will increase 3% over what they're paying today.
Yeah, and so what are they paying today?
For a supervisor, this is your document.
This one, correct?
I mean, are they paying 10% of the premium, or 20%, or
supervisor?
Oh, you're the hand person. Okay.
That's what I want to know.
Don't they pay based on taking the health
program, right?
The Go 365 program, right? So they pay based on their level of engagement in our wellness program. Someone in a blue tier who is not engaged, who's not engaging in their own wellness, is paying 18%. Bronze is 15%. Silver is 9%. Gold is 6%. And platinum is 4%. So we're not recommending a change to those percentages, but overall the premiums will go up 3%.
And so the percentage paid will go up 3%.
Because the premiums are going up.
The premiums are going up, and so the contribution increased.
Right.
3%. Okay.
Right. In addition to that, don't forget the co-payments and deductibles are included in the calculation for employee contribution. So it's not just premium contribution or a percentage of same. It is the co-payments that we pay and all of the deductibles.
So the co-payments are what?
$35 for a dollar.
So it stays the same?
Yes.
Yes.
Co-payments are not increased.
The only change to plan design is an increase to the out-of-pocket maximum that's allowed under the Affordable Care Act. Otherwise, the plan stays the same. They adjust it most years and allow for a little bit more of an out-of-pocket maximum to be able to charge an employee, a member, and we move along with that Affordable Care Act limit.
What is the maximum right now?
It's 73.50 and then 14.7 per family.
It's a lot of money.
It is. It can be. But our plans are very well designed, so it's primarily co-pays for services and prescriptions, and it would take a lot to get to those out-of-pocket maximums.
Is there anything else?
Just talk a little bit about the RFP, if you'd like. We did do an RFP this year for these lines of coverages. We're choosing to stay with Humana. As a result of this, we're getting an employee assistance program benefit out of Humana as a value add, and that will be open to all of our employees regardless of whether they're enrolled in our health plan. This is a fantastic benefit. It provides up to 6 face-to-face counseling sessions per issue. And I'll just add, even though we're not, wouldn't be officially starting that until 1-1, we did have an issue, and an employee is able to take advantage of that program prior to 1-1. Obviously wouldn't share the details of that, but it's a tremendous asset to employees. It's an asset to managers, employees' families. You may recall in a recent employee survey that we did, employees asked for employee assistance program, and we're very pleased to be able to offer that to them. So that was a big bonus. We're also going to be introducing telemedicine, which is a low-cost, easy access means to healthcare. Do it on a smartphone or an iPad. You can access any time of day or night if you're traveling. And it's not just for general health issues, but also for mental health, which can be a real challenge in this area to get an appointment. So it'll be improved access for mental health. And then as part of the RFP, we also got a rate hold on our dental for 2 years through Humana, and a rate hold on vision for 4 years.
All right, discussion.
Is that telemedicine just an add-on? I mean,
yes.
Is that so? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not going to impact our numbers. It's just something that they can take advantage of. I really think that's a great program.
Yeah, so employees can take advantage of it. It'll be at a reduced copay.
Okay.
And really, it should reduce plan costs overall because it's less expensive than a doctor's visit or an urgent care visit.
Yeah.
Any other discussion, John?
Yeah. Well, over half of county employees still only pay that 4% for their health insurance. That's what I got from Barna. And most private sector workers pay about 25% for their health insurance. And even Chicago and Dane County require their employees to contribute 12% as compared to our 4%. And I think we ought to raise the employee portion of the health insurance 10%, which would be closer to Dane County. Showed you in the handout there that if we did the additional 10% employee contribution, we would virtually balance the budget and require no increase in the levy. I think it shows around 10,000, which would then be, I'm sure we could find 10,000 in some other budget to balance it. And at least we could have a 0% increase for the taxpayer. And with Kenosha County growing, that's the least we could do for our taxpayers.
So you want to give the employees a 10% pay cut?
I'm giving the taxpayers a benefit.
No, you're taking 10% away from the employees.
We're giving the taxpayers a benefit by it. Employees got a 10% increase several years ago, and that would have been the perfect time to have done this. But nobody wanted to listen to it at that time. Since that was not done, we need to do it now.
Discussion? Anyone? Anything further on the health insurance?
Well, I will respond to that. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, and I don't disagree that when you look at the, you know, what it is out at a Jockey or Snap-on or other things, what people pay. My concern personally is that over the next 10 years, we're going to be competing for employees with all these new jobs that we're creating.
We are not.
Oh, I know. So that's my concern. So if we cut the health and require them to pay more, while I'm not disagreeing that it's a great idea and being competitive with other, you know, the private sector, I think that we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot in the long run. Because we're really losing people now, and if this has been a bastion of how we can keep, attract, and retain employees,
is through the health insurance. So, I mean, we got to be very careful with what we do with that.
Anyone else? Mike, is that, or John?
Well, even, you know, with a 10% increase, most of our employees would only be paying 14 or 16% at that point. Like I said, private sector is 25, so, you know, it's still an option. Benefit to come to the county and work.
Mike?
Yeah, in addition, being in the private sector, I certainly pay that 25%, and that's participating in wellness programs. I don't get some special cut below that. What we're simply saying is that we're certainly below what the private sector is requiring these days, anywhere you go. And two, is you've got to keep in mind is the employees of the county, if they stay here for the duration, walk away with a lifetime pension. You don't see that in the private sector. And that is a huge benefit that I personally am not going to ever see. So I don't think that that's unreasonable what Supervisor Poole is presenting here. We've asked for a reduction in the cost of health care year after year. This committee has failed to push any type of movement on this. Now we at least got a new director in the HR function, and I actually wanted to touch on this. I'm extremely delighted to see that we've gone in and you've done an RFP. How many different companies did we propose that for them to request a proposal? Is it just Humana or was it multiple?
No, there were five proposals that we were able to evaluate that fulfilled the information.
And of that, hopefully Humana gave us the best bang for the buck, and I know how it is changing. It is not fun, not only for HR, but all the employees, so it makes sense if things are closed.
It was a total package,
but
yeah.
Adapting the Serview, the Teladoc, you know, adding both dental and vision, big benefits. I don't get those two in the private sector, dental and vision in my program. That's a separate add-on that I have to pay for.
Well, dental and vision is their voluntary benefits, so employees pay for those.
With no rate increase over the next 2 years, correct?
Right.
Now, can you speak to this committee a little bit about, because coming from the private sector, you've got some experiences that perhaps some of them have not seen, of what we can do to save on costs for the taxpayers with regards to health insurance. Because there's many programs out there that you don't lose service, you don't have to significantly impact costs, but there are ways to work with healthcare insurers and providers to save money. Can you share a little bit what some of your experiences and what you and your staff perhaps have planned in the upcoming year? Because I'm very interested.
Well, there are a number of different approaches and innovations, and we do have our partner consultant here as well, so she might be able to add to this conversation. First of all, saving money on health care is a challenge for absolutely everyone. It's a significant cost for employers, and it's a significant cost for employees. Whether you work for the county or whether you work for private sector, it's something that has to be factored in when you're looking at total compensation, when you're looking at being able to retain and recruit. And if we start chipping away at our health insurance benefits, the recruitment environment, the retention environment, is just going to grow exponentially worse, and it's already a challenge, and it's going to, our region right now with what's happening with Foxconn and all of the other companies, ancillary companies around that, if somebody wants to work, they're going to be able to find a job, and that means good employees are going to be able to find really good jobs with great benefits, and some of the private companies that are coming into our region are up in the game when it comes to benefits. Some of them are offering free health insurance to their employees. Yeah. So we have to stay vigilant in being able to offer a competitive benefit here if we're going to continue to recruit good quality employees and to retain good quality employees. That's where I stand.
And I'm not arguing that fact, but just as quickly as a company's fortunes turn negative, they'll change those benefits. because they have no choice. They're not able to dip into the taxpayer's pocket. They have a budget to maintain, and so as a result, and I've experienced those things, and they're not pleasant, but it's reality. And it's the way it is in the private sector, and the vast majority of the taxpayers are in the private sector. So we need to be vigilant, we need to be taking a look at how can we reduce our health care costs. And some of that is going to be, they're going to share with the employee. But there are other programs out there that can reduce costs that don't require us to necessarily pass costs on or just constantly upping premiums and co-pays. And so those are things I hope you take very seriously and investigate diligently, because they are out there and we don't participate a lot of them.
We will continue to monitor our programs, to consider any type of cost-saving measures, working with our consultants who bring forward programs for us to look at and consider them. Absolutely, if we can save money, we're going to try to do that while maintaining a strong benefit.
Good, thank you.
Is there any, if one increased the copay, do you think that would make, what kind of dollar figure would we talk about there? If you went from 35 to 40, does that make a difference to anybody?
If I might, Mr. Chair, yes. I'm Mary Ann Baudry from the Horton Group, and I've been working with the county for quite some time on the health insurance benefit. A couple of things on the premium contribution, if I just might. While the supervisor may be correct in saying that there's a large portion of the county population that only pays a 4% premium contribution, that was very carefully strategized and cultivated over the last several years when with the introduction of a premium contribution. And one of the things we need to keep in mind is we also need to be compliant with the affordability provisions of the Affordable Care Act. So when we look at the people that don't participate in any way, shape, or form on the wellness program, at 18%, looking at the lower paid populations of county government, such as Brookside, for example, or some other populations, when you start taking 18%, because under the law, you can't take a wellness consideration into that calculation, 18 is the maximum we can charge people, otherwise we'll be missing that affordability calculation. So we've been watching these premiums very studiously, setting these, and you don't get to below the average municipal government contribution until such time as you are considered engaged, which is at silver or better, three tiers up. So the two tiers below that, blue and bronze, are paying substantially more than the average municipal population. I understand private sector is different. To the end, in the private sector, we've been at several job fairs because I work with a lot of municipal governments in southeastern Wisconsin. Haribo, Amazon, Uline, Foxconn are all, look on their website, they are advertising free employee benefits. Now, the health plans may not look like our county government health plan, but they are free to employees. We are watching this carefully because we even have private sector clients that are concerned about recruiting efforts and keeping their factories running and open as non-skilled labor, particularly, gets a harder look by some of these companies as they grow and expand. Lastly, I would ask us all to remember that we, several years ago, made the dental and vision, which had been 100% county paid, completely 100% employee paid for all those populations. That was in one fell swoop that the county did that in order to reduce costs and make employees pay a larger portion besides the premium contribution. So we looked at dental and vision premiums being 100% employer paid. That is not true of the standards of most municipal governments. Dental and vision are typically still at some point either 87% or more government paid. So the county was on the cutting edge of that. And lastly, in our health plan, for the majority of the active employees, not the sheriff's department and some of the others, but for the majority of the active employees, every time they seek a service, literally every time, we have a copayment. So if I'm in the hospital, I pay $350 a day. If I seek an office visit, I pay $35. Telemedicine isn't going to be free, which it is for a lot of the government issues. It's going to be a $10 copay because we want people to be instrumental. A plan with administration and with HR for this year is to do a lot more education on the consumerism that's involved with some of these things. Get people involved in telemedicine. Talk about generic utilization of prescription drugs. This change to the formulary is going to be a big differentiator for Kenosha County, and it will require some massive education through the open enrollment process. So we have been bringing programs forward This RFP process saved us at least $500,000 to $1 million just in the things we were able to knock off and or get as value adds to bring forward into the program. So I think we've been making changes. Some might consider them tweaks. Some of them might be considered a much bigger change depending upon where you reside within the county. But each and every year there have been multiple changes to the health plan design, to the vendor partners, to what we charge employees to take advantage of this. So I feel that we really made a good recommendation here, and that the efforts have not gone unnoticed. And to the best of the county's ability, having a surplus at the end of this year, we have been through a tremendously difficult claim cycle. 2014, 15, and 16 were not good looking years. And what that means is if the county at one point in time had over 43 people that had spent more than $100,000, just individuals that had those kinds of claims out of, you know, mm-hmm. almost 2,000 bodies. So they are meeting that $7,000 out-of-pocket maximum. So we're putting that on top of some of these other things. We've tweaked these comp payments. We get much further above the $35, Mr. Chair, and honestly, the employees are paying 50% of some of the costs. So we're trying to make them better consumers of what's going on here. So
what is the surplus for, you expect, 2018?
Probably not about
$100,000.
$100,000.
Is that all
of
you?
It's a surplus overall. Claims are in a good cycle.
Okay. One other question. Did you see this check that was Supervisor Poole?
I did not.
Right. Why don't you pass everyone? Question.
Behind you, that's fine.
Yeah. The question that I have was, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act. Now, he's suggested some revised annual percentages here. Are those conformity with the Affordable Care Act or not?
We would not be able to go to the 19%. So if we look at silver, the 18% was with the Brookside. I believe the lowest paid employee was roughly, I want to say, right around $12 per hour. And when we did the calculation, they can only be paying 9.83% of their gross monthly wage. So we calculate 130 hours, and we go through all of that, and the 18% reaches that parameter.
So it's 19%, 25, and 28, not conforming to the federal law.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I would be interested in said look at the websites of the other companies and what they're offering for free. Did you guys do that and do a comparison to what the county is offering in their expense? Because I don't know. I've never seen what the county's actual benefits are.
Okay.
It's hard enough to understand my own, which you guys are lucky. You only go to $73.50. I don't get $1 paid until I hit $5,000. So, you know, I would like to see what that is and what is it compared to what they're actually offering. Because, you know, you say, oh, yeah, you know, maybe it's not as good as ours. Well, maybe it really isn't as good as theirs, you know.
Right.
So I would like to see what that comparison was when you talk about that they have no cost, but what is their benefits compared to what the county benefits? It may be a shiny armor, but it may be just kind of regular, too, you know. Who knows?
It's probably more in line with what you're looking at. I mean, these are high deductible health plans.
Right.
But we also are looking at, take Amazon, for example, and I don't want to use them as the be-all, end-all of this particular discussion, but their average age is significantly lower than the county's.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a warehouse population and a salaried population.
Right.
We have nursing homes and jailers and, you know, right. So we have different needs across the factions. And as we've worked with the county over the years, one of the extremely sensitive, I think, parts of the program have been looking at those people that are providing service out at Brookside. Brookside is a shining star in the nursing home community and in the care facility. They happen to be fantastic. And having the ability to recruit and have people continue to work there has been something that's been important to the county board and to the county HR department, and I believe even the county exec throughout the ages. So we've been a little bit more sensitive to some of the factions. This isn't all just salary or just a 27-year-old working in a warehouse. So we've got a little bit different population to pay attention to. But yes, the benefits are different. We can certainly do a comparison, but
I'd be interested in seeing and knowing what the benefits are for the county. I'm just on the board now. Here's my first year, and I don't know what that is. It's hard to put my wrap my head around it.
And we've also
support him or support you guys. You know,
sure. And there have been several white papers by some of the big studies, the Millimans, the Mercers, Kaiser, that have been putting out the new direction is moving a little bit away from the high deductible health plans with health savings accounts, because once people get to their maximum out of pocket, and it's so easy to do nowadays. I mean, I don't want to talk about a $5,000 deductible as though it's nothing, but that's 1 month's worth of Enbrel. You know, and a lot of times when there's a big deductible, it's 100% thereafter.
Well,
then it's like,
15,000.
Right. Then it's like, let's go, right? We'll get everything fixed because we've met our deductible. So we want to encourage the right behavior at the right time and to have people using their benefits appropriately. So a lot more education in that regard is going to be undertaken by the HR departments. And, you know, I think it is just important to realize they're moving to copay plans so that people know that there's a cost to healthcare every time you seek to access it, as opposed to just get past that deductible or don't spend anything and then have a late diagnosis.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion. Is that Mike?
Yep. So you mentioned from the RFP, the actual savings were $500,000 to $1 million. That's a big range, so which was it?
Well, we were able to take approximately $500,000 due specifically to the change in prescription drug vendors. And then if we project the claims from the last, just 2018, so we took a rolling 12, we had a little bit of a hangover, if you will, from 2017. We were getting out of a bad claim cycle. So if we took at just 2018, there was another $500,000 in the change the way the medical claims were coming out. But if we took a rolling 12, it was a little bit less than that. So that's thus the range.
So $500,000 for the prescription plan, and then on the claims cycle, though, how would the RFP have affected or saved on $500,000 of claims? I'm just trying to understand this.
Well, I mean, we're looking at a budget that, so you look at what happens, you add medical trend and inflation, and you project it forward and say, if the same thing happens again, what's it going to cost you? So what the RFP shared with us, and Milliman validated their recommendation, was the discount levels of all the providers and their networks and what they said that they were giving to Kenosha County. So that was validated and revalidated, and so we were able to take a look at where those claims, rebates, where there was room for improvement and or steerage, and where we were going to be able to allocate and maybe push those claims a little bit more, i.e. telemedicine, telemental health. We had an access issue. The EAP was a savings of a little bit because now we don't have to pay an additional cost to add that benefit. So overall, there was just a whole lot of overreach. You can certainly share the report with the entire board.
That'd be great. So a hard number in the change in this prescription provider is certainly $500,000. The other one is kind of projected, but like you said, it's a soft number, and you don't know exactly where it is going to fall.
Correct.
Because it's kind of a rolling number.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But
what's the single premium for single now? Premium. The yearly premium, what's the single?
It's on the page you got.
Hmm?
It's on your page.
Oh, it's not.
It's 2019 current annual premium.
$1,798.20. What's this? Where am I missing it?
No.
What are you? Well,
slow.
What
is a single share?
The annual premium. What is the annual premium for a single?
For a single,
$9,000, $10,000, $11,000.
Short of $10,000.
Oh, the whole premium? Yeah.
Yeah, the whole premium.
It's just
that's what I'm asking. Okay.
Sorry.
$10,000.
Okay. So that. What is it now? Single.
$10,000.
So you're saying that you want his proposal here is they want that to increase to 25% of, I mean.
So 10,000 is the total
premium. The family plan is what?
21, I think 840, something like that.
It came down, actually came down.
Yeah.
It's down. I can remember when
The health insurance premium was $23,000, and the family plan was, the single plan was like, was still $10,000. And that was 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, 6, 7 years ago. I think the employees are paying enough up front. I think we discussed it, that we have a problem recruiting now. And we hear all these things about the private sector, 25% co-pays and premiums and stuff, you know. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion to approve that as presented.
Is there a second? There's a second discussion. Jeff?
Yeah, I have a question. Does anyone know what our turnover rate is as it relates to employees, or how many do we hire every year, ballpark, just average? I know it changes from year to year, but does anybody know?
Attrition rate.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Just
about,
yeah,
200.
About 200.
Roughly.
Okay. I know we've talked about this before. I may be alone in this way of thinking, but one of the problems I have with raising anything on employees is changing the rules after the game started. I know it happened to me, and I know it's probably happened to a lot of people in here, but I'm just curious, because I don't disagree with what Supervisor Poole has brought up, or Skolitsky. John, have you run any numbers as it relates to through attrition? I know it'd be a slower process, but any numbers run like that? Maybe it could be done, but slower. I know it'd be very hard. I know. That's what I'm asking. I kind of knew the answer, but maybe that is something to think about in the future. We go a little bit slower. We still save taxpayer money, but then when someone gets hired in, they know what their benefits would be. They're not being changed after they've been employed. And I'm not saying let's make a change right now. That's my feelings.
You're talking about like
grandfathering
old premiums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then new hires could be under a different. Is that even legal?
At the phone company, we have done that. We have grandfathered, you know, 25 years and above.
And I'm not even saying that's a good idea. I'm just looking for, you know, because I understand what you're saying, but I also know what it feels like when.
You know, we went through a two-tier pay system. We start losing people because the highway workers were getting $14, and the ones that were with us were getting $20 or $22. Now we're talking about a two-tier insurance system? Are we kidding? Come on. I mean, like, we sit here and we think that we're not concerned about the taxpayers. I'm concerned about the taxpayers.
Yeah.
But I'm also concerned about the county providing good staff, good health, and we're not going to get it if we keep taking things away from us. And that's what we did. We've done it for the last 4 years, okay? And I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Well, that was my point. It's not taking away from current employees.
But
it's hiring in
but
at a different.
But you start creating a two-tier, you're still not going to hire people because you're saying, well, you're going to get hired at. But here's what happened at Highway.
This is for all.
The Highway, this was when they had unions, right?
Yeah.
The Highway workers said, well, we're going to cut costs for the county. The new people are going to get $14 an hour, but we're going to keep getting our $20 an hour. Am I right?
I was here for that.
Okay. So that's what we're saying now. Health insurance, when you hire in, we're going to give you less because you're new.
What we started 3 or 4 years ago was a comprehensive analysis of the market to make sure that our wages were competitive, our benefits were competitive, and many of you saw and voted on a comprehensive study for classification and compensation, which
can
systematically.
You speak up a little, Bob?
I'm sorry.
Can you speak up? We can't hear you. Right.
Sure, I'm sorry. Which systematically got rid of the problem that Supervisor Frederick has just identified. We, through the art of negotiation and all of the things that were going on during the union thing, we transitioned. We created a market-based study and classification and compensation tool that got rid of the disparities between and among employees with the same job titles.
I'm not sure there was one, but.
And we factored in the value of the health insurance and the value of some of our other benefits, and we came up with a tight study and a tight tool that we have been using now for 3 years. What has happened in the market, you all know, and suddenly the competition ramps up, and so we look for creative ways to combat that. You heard about one last night. The Sheriff's Department is going to a 12-hour workday so that we can give people who works in the Sheriff's Department every other weekend off. They've never had that. So this is a good thing. That should be an attractive benefit for people who are in the jail. Also, when we went through kind of, I'll call it a mini study, but it's kind of a how you're doing a snapshot on the wage consultant, she told us that next year we should seriously look at another full-blown study, because that's how fast the market is changing. That's how we are being impacted. I've worked here 20 years and I've loved every minute of it. But we have tough jobs, and it's tough to attract people to be jailers and cops and nursing home employees when there are 5-day-a-week, weekends-off jobs out there, and we have to compete for them. That's what this does. That's what a good class comps program does. And it's not that our folks aren't creative. The sheriff has been working on that 12-hour thing with Clara and Captain Miller, intense. We've got a couple of other great ideas that are coming in with the new director, which will help other departments. So this is an important part of being able to keep our folks.
Further discussion, anyone?
How hard, I mean, we're competing now with outside people. I mean, a city and county and state used to always have an advantage. You know, it was 365 days a year on vacation. If you went and worked construction, you might only work 9 months, you'd be off free. I mean, if we're not seeing it, we got a different environment out there with Amazon and...
Well, the county is stable.
Yeah.
We've had one layoff in the 20 years I've been here. We are, you know, consistent. We're not going anywhere. Our jobs are not glamorous, but our wages are competitive, and our benefits are good. And we have to compete with the others.
Yeah, and that's the people I talked to when I was working. The reason they work for the city and the county was what you just said.
Consistent.
Yeah, when you work outside in construction, it's kind of, you never know.
So. Ron?
Yeah, there was a time when it also was more advantageous to come work for the county because the pension was included, and we paid the employee share, and that was like 5 or 6% of their salary. Now they come in as a county employee because of Act 10. They not only have to pay their Social Security, but they have to be in Wisconsin retirement, am I correct?
Correct.
So we're automatically taking 13% out of a new employee's salary for pension and Social Security, am I right?
Well, we're taking
and they have no choice on the pension, right?
We're
right.
Taking 7.
7.65 on Social Security plus.
You're right.
So they're automatically losing about 13.5 or 14%. Not losing it because they're paying in Social Security. That's got to be a detriment to hiring people too, because I can make $20 on the outside. If I want to get a 401k, I can. But if I don't, I don't have to. When they come to work for us, they have to pay that to the state retirement. Am I correct?
Yes, that's
right. Another thing that's coming out of their check. How are we going to recruit people if that's there? Act 10 took away that part, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it, okay? But that's got to be a detriment to hiring people, too. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Discussion further, Mike.
Yeah, you're wrong, because
I'm always wrong.
Because that's a lifetime pension. Out in the private sector, yeah, you can choose not to save a penny.
That's right.
And good luck in your retirement. You won't have one.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're 22 years old and you're trying to figure out a salary,
we did not take into account health care. And that is still a benefit that hasn't been addressed. Although we'll continue to bring it up each year. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
And that's your reason to vote against the budget every year, too. So.
All right. I'm done. Yeah. Okay. any other discussion from anyone?
You don't want to get involved?
Well, I was just going to add the compensation study that Mr. Rito was referring to.
But they weren't addressed. We did address salaries, and we increased them.
In terms of changes.
Comparatively to the private sector. I understand we're a competitive thing, but it's not as though attrition rates have exploded within the county. They have not, and there are reasons for that, because when the economy does downturn, and it will, you don't see anybody from the county losing their jobs. I've been through those cycles in the private sector, and it is not fun, because you're all sitting on the street, and that is a lot of security in the back of your mind when you know that your job probably isn't going to be eliminated. The reason is because you have the taxpayers to fall back on. It's a much different environment. And let's not forget that perspective. Because the vast majority of our constituents and taxpayers are in the private sector. This economy will turn around. It will be a downturn. And there will be cuts and layoffs.
All right, anyone else on the discussion?
A little negative.
All right, there is a motion on the floor to approve as presented. Any other discussion? Last call? Seeing none?
I'd like a roll call.
What on this side. Jeff?
Aye.
Ron?
Aye.
And
aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
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 Mike? Aye.
Yes. Youth and Wait,
youth and governance?
Go on then.
You got it right.
No pressure.
All right, anyone else? Then we'll move on. Is there anything else, Bob?
Cover the employee handbook changes.
All right.
Sure. So I've been working with our HR team. To update the employee handbook. I've got some proposals that were shared with you. They've been reviewed by Corporation Counsel and County Executive. The changes primarily reflect a Act 10 environment continuing to move away from contract style language to a more user-friendly type of guide for employees to understand their policies and rules of their workplace. I also like to have as many policies as possible in one place, so I've brought some of our policies that existed outside of the handbook into the handbook, not all of them, but some of them. So I shared the proposed draft with you. I don't know, Chairman, if you'd like me to go over the summaries of the changes, or we can go page by page, or address
well, why don't you? Yeah, I see there's a summary page one and a half here. Why don't you go through that? We'll see how much discussion there's.
Mr. Chairman, I think that this proposal is quite lengthy and quite a few changes, and there's some meanings in there that, quite frankly, I read it through and I still don't understand. And I think it would be incumbent of us to go through this as a meeting by itself almost. Because there's some things in there that I'm not sure. I think we discussed the grievance procedure, and I'm not sure if that's in there or not. Where the committee has the right to you know how the grievance procedure works. So okay, we go through it. The employee comes, they decide to make it. I know that you've got a charge in there for them. Now it's like,
correct.
I'm not against that. Okay, maybe $200 is a little high, but because if they want to appeal it, they have to put up $200. But I think the fact is that when it gets to us. You know, we had that situation where the employee got fired. We disagreed with the findings, and we put him back to work because we either had to accept the arbitrator's decision, or we had to. So we decided, because we had no choice according to our rules, the county had to pay a lot of back pay when we would have just probably ruled the time. You know, the time they were off as the time, and not pay them back pay. We had to pay them back pay because of that. Is that still like that?
It is.
And I don't agree with that.
Can I make a motion that we do the employee handbook at a separate meeting?
Well, it has to be before, as part of the budget process. So, I mean, we don't have to do it tonight, but what day do you want to do this?
Oh, I would be willing to spend an extra hour at the end of tomorrow night to go through it, because I think it's necessary. So I understand it completely, because there's a lot of changes in there, and I'm not sure I agree or don't agree. I may agree with all of them.
We're talking
a lot of changes here. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are there?
There are probably a handful of substantive changes.
Right. Substantive changes.
Most of the rest are
language changes.
Language changes.
All right. May I suggest that we do this? If the committee wants to do this separately, that's fine. I don't think we should tag it on to a long night and be testy about it, but perhaps Monday at 7 o'clock, 6:30.
I would.
Why don't we do that and then we'll be fresh and come back? Is that agreeable?
Monday at 6:30.
All right. Yeah,
I'll make that
motion.
I'll second that.
All right. Is that agreeable with everybody?
I won't be here.
Well, how about Tuesday? We don't have to. I don't want to cut anybody out. Is Tuesday all right? Not Tuesday.
I'm working. Oh, I'm working Monday and Tuesday, so.
We have all next week.
Wednesday works for me.
Wednesday? Is Wednesday all right with everybody else? What is that?
It's Halloween.
Halloween.
Well, we're a costume.
I don't mean to be a problem.
Trick or treat?
Were you going and trick or treating that?
I was repeating what she said. That wasn't for me.
Then we could
he's going to go as a fireman.
He's going to go as a cop.
We can't have plans on Halloween. It's my birthday.
Really?
Wednesday, is that all right? Wednesday, October 31st, 6:30.
What day?
Rules only.
Oh. Wednesday?
Yes.
Work for me.
Oh, no. For what?
Go over the Bible.
Go over the handbook changes. Ron will explain later. Is that agreeable?
No.
It's not. Well, the committee, while you were absent. While you were out of the room, okay. The committee wanted to review the policy changes a little more carefully, separately from the other discussion. Wednesday seemed to be agreeable with everyone. You're available Wednesday?
Wednesday, you said 7 or 6:30?
On your way.
6:30. I don't have a life. It works for me.
So we'll let Jeff speak on it because obviously we went around your schedule. Let's go around his.
I would vote no on that. But what do we.
Well, Monday and Tuesday are out.
Okay.
What about Thursday?
They get the first, start fresh for November.
Is it? Is there a lot of contention with the handbook?
Yes, go ahead.
The contention I have with that I felt that the employees go through this process, and an arbitrator makes a decision, and that's one person making a decision. And then they're told they have this option. They have this option to go to the First-Owned Finance Committee, and they can present their case to them. So we're presented with a case, and sometimes, like the one where we put the two people back to work, cost the county what, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 in back pay and stuff.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay. And my point was that we, six or seven of us, we didn't agree completely. We agreed that the employees should be penalized, but not fired. So then we had no choice. We either had to accept that what the arbitrator gave, or we had to accept nothing.
Isn't this
there was
a
no in between. There was no in between, and that's my only point. That's my problem with that. If you're going to tell the people they can come to us and they got a chance, but it's a joke if you're telling them they got it because we had no choice. We couldn't alter it at all.
I think the consensus here was that we wanted to discuss the policy changes at another meeting. Let's agree on a date and time. Yes.
Okay, this is a policy change. This is not part of what we're going to... Is this something we have to approve with the budget?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So, what do you want to meet?
You're
Monday,
the
Tuesday,
wall,
or Wednesday is the issue at 6:30 or 7?
Sure. Well, I'd prefer to meet the 7th before the county board meeting.
No, that's not enough.
It's not going to work. No.
I knew you were going to say that, but I'm just giving that.
All right.
Chairman, make the decision.
Yeah. We'll live with it.
Tell us when to be there. If they're not here, then they can.
All right, we'll do it Wednesday then. Let's do it Wednesday.
Whatever time you want to do it.
Yeah, let's do it Wednesday, October 31st at 6:30.
Has everybody read it completely?
No.
Mr. Chair, can you also have an email to everybody?
Sure. Well, it'll be posted as a
public. No, I mean the policy.
You're talking about sure. I think we can furnish all the supervisors.
Wednesday works for me. It doesn't work for him.
And one other point. We have discussed this grievance procedure on no less than 3 or 4 times. And the last time we brought it up, I had suggested some substantial substantive changes, and I think there were only 2 votes in favor of it. So we can certainly go down that road again, but it's been before the committee at least three or four times.
Yeah, so I would rather
have But we'll still go tonight. Through it again, but I do want you to remember that. All right, thank you, and then we'll see you on the 31st.
I'm sorry, but I believe liability insurance.
I'm sorry?
The liability insurance piece was not addressed.
All right, what page? 379, I'm told. All right, what is that? Go ahead.
Actually, Barney, do you want to speak to the grants and contributions piece?
The chargeback to the county departments is going up $98,000 for liability insurance. The main component, actually the entire amount of that is the WMIC premium. We're projecting to go up short of $100,000. And that's a result of our claim experience not doing so well in the liability insurance.
Is it spread over all the departments?
It's spread over all the departments, correct. So that's basically the difference in liability insurance chargeback. Is the increase in the limit premium. The whole week's kind of budget.
All right, discussion?
Terry?
Yes.
I want to backtrack for a second. Bob, send out to the county board, the entire county board, why we do the process the way we do it, please. Before next Wednesday, and we've been through this grievous issue 5-6 times now, that I can remember. I agree with Terry. Everybody's got to get the full picture of this.
Thank you.
So we've discussed it on several times before the meeting next Wednesday, while we're last to be able to, and why we've done what we've done. Please, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should just have that as a part of the finance, looking at our policies. Like we've done it in the past. I mean, I may not be here at 6:30 or 6 o'clock next Wednesday. So I mean, we have done this 5 times, and I mean, I think this is a procedural thing. So I mean, if we're holding up the handbook just for this one procedural thing, I think this could be passed, and then we put it on. You agree to put it on the finance agenda and have the same discussion we've had 6 other times. But I mean, to have everybody come back at a special meeting for something that should be a procedural thing on the finance meeting, doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to the bathroom anymore, I'll tell you that. It goes to hell when I go to the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm not going anymore.
Well, there's much more, many more changes than the grievance procedure. Ron just brought that as a discussion point and requested we have a separate meeting. That's what I was.
I thought it was myself, but
we'll leave it October 31st, Wednesday, 6:30, and we hope you're here. We don't have a quorum. We don't have a quorum, but I think we will, based upon what I heard tonight. So, anything else?
No, I would just offer if there are any questions, feel free to reach out to me in the interim to help you understand.
Somebody moved it.
Right, thank you.
Yes, it's moved and voted on.
I'm sorry.
Did we vote on the liability, Terry?
I'll move on it.
Second. Further discussion on this item? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, very good. We're completed with that. We'll see you next Wednesday. All right, moving on then, information systems.
Mr. Chairman, we'll start with land information.
Scott? Okay. 353, did you say? All right.
Scott Chussey, Director of the Division of Land Information. I would like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to review the proposed budget with you this evening. The proposed budget represents a very slight reduction from 2018 numbers, down about 2% on the levy. The major changes in terms of expenditures in the office, which really aren't all that much, are a slight increase in telecommunications, a reduced office supplies. On the revenue side, we are slightly reduced from last year. That's due to a number of factors. Number one is we are increasing it by $5,500 for a Village of Summers GIS services contract that we provide to the village. And we are decreasing our land information systems fee by $7,000, and that's due to projections that we've created for 2019. The CIP program remains unchanged, and it will be at $57,191 for our monumentation project to maintain the monuments in the field, which is the basis for our mapping program.
What actually is that, if I could ask?
We have a series of roughly 1,200 monuments spread throughout the county, and they are the basis for any surveying activities that take place. So anytime development happens, a surveyor is required to develop a survey and notate how far and the distance and the bearing from one of those monuments is required by state law. Without that, maintaining that system, our mapping system would suffer in terms of accuracy.
Thank you.
All right, any discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Marty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Marty Laycock, the Division of IT, just like the Ohio State. The only surplus I have to offer is in the event tonight that I win the $1.6 billion.
Well, I'm going to win. You're not going to win.
I will
be winning.
I'm sorry. I got the winning ticket.
Okay, if we start on page 339. With our mission, no real changes there. 340 is a summary of our head count. Since there is some discussion about additional changes within head count, we are requesting two changes. One is an additional person as a project coordinator. That person is Janae Townsend. She's been a contractor for about 18 months with the county. She has been one of the lead people that has helped develop the delinquent tax application. So she has done and shown great skills as far as project management, leading teams, those type of things. We certainly had the need for more project management type functions within the county. So our recommendation is to move her from a contract position into a full-time position. The other change that we're requesting is really a reclassification from a customer service team lead to a customer service manager. So we have, what we'd like to do is promote Matt McCravens, who's been a long-term employee with the county, to head up the desktop technicians. So there will be five desktop technicians that will report to a manager. Right now we have, Matt is acting as a team lead, which provides technical direction, but we would like to give him the supervisory or management responsibilities to lead that group for customer service. Any questions?
What is the increased cost from having the employee go from a contract employee to a county employee?
Actually, it's a reduction. Typically, we're paying more money for contracted labor.
That's what I figured, yeah.
So, essentially what we do is say if we're paying let's say $70 an hour for a contractor, we can typically bring them in at $70,000, then add on the benefits.
And even with benefits, they're good. They're good.
Right. Yeah. So it's really a cost savings for the county to do that.
So when they see a cost savings by not having so much contract work then? Well, you have a reduced contract work.
Yes.
To offset that.
And as we get through the numbers, we'll see a change in our budget that reflects a reduction of $40,000 in professional services that is now associated with the salaries. So we're moving on. Page 342, which summarizes the overall budget. Overall, we're seeing an increase in salaries by about 6%, which is $130,000. That is attributed to the normal step increases that the staff gets, as well as the addition of the person for the project coordinator role. The other area with a minor increase is contractual, and that's really where we charge all of our computer hardware, software, licensing, maintenance, those type of things. To give you some idea, there's about 120 vendors that we pay to provide the services that we are receiving to or providing to the county. So we see a slight increase there, going from $1,867,000 to $1,886,000. So that's a nominal change. We have a couple of contributing factors. There are some changes with licensing for Kronos, some of the things that the sheriff is doing with telestaff and changing the work schedule is requiring more licenses for that. We're also seeing more employees on Ceridian Day Force, so we need additional licenses, so that's contributing to some of that increase in contractual data processing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the money, but how often do you check to see if we could get maybe better rates with other vendors or anything? Do you check around with that? I mean, other than the licensing, you're still paying other vendors to do things, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So we do have a couple of companies that provide hardware services. We have different companies that provide computers to us. So we regularly go out and shop price and make sure that they're remaining competitive. And typically we'll get an offer in, and the existing vendor will drop their price to remain competitive and stay with the county.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If we look at, if we go to page 343, there's more detail here. If we look at personnel costs, we're up, as I mentioned, about 6% there. Contractual data processing, up 1%. Supplies remains flat. Fixed charges is up about 1%, and I think that's already been covered what the fixed charges are. Any questions on that? The next several pages, 344, 345, are just recaps, but on the page, bottom of the page on 344, talks about our revenues that we receive. So these come from different sources. We do receive some funding from Human Services for desktop support. We also do have a support contract with Summers, where we are providing IT services for Summers. We saw an increase in the scope of that contract at the beginning of this year, so we're adding additional revenue for that.
What was that Summers? What do you do for them?
Computer services.
Oh, so
support their desktops, their phone systems, okay. Servers. Do some hosting for them as well. The community area network, that's part of our CAN that we've developed in conjunction with Gateway and Carthage and those business partners. Essentially, net revenue is up about $10,000 for 2019. And if we just hold on the capital here for a second, but if I look at the last page, 346, you'll see an overall increase between the 2018 adopted budget and the 2019 proposed budget of $141,000 is the difference between the budgets for operating and revenue. So on the capital side, are there any questions about operating expense? On the capital side, we're coming in at $1.964 million. For capital, and as in the past, we have broken that down into business units. I think Jeff, you mentioned at the last meeting terminology about CALM and you know, what that is, what that project is, and I think we explained it's Kenosha Area Land Management, so it encompasses a number of business units within the county. I think to me the biggest changes that we can see that I'd like to convey. Give me a second to find my page.
What page are you on?
He's trying to find it.
He's looking.
He really doesn't know. He's scrambling.
Dancing.
I just wanted to last, if that room record,
yes. So
that capital adjustment, is that something that didn't get done, or you minused it out, or what?
That was a recommendation from the county executive that we reduce our capital expenditures by $100,000. So instead of identifying a single project to eliminate, what we've agreed to do is either save 5%
on
projects or not do something as we get close to the end of the year. So if we look at the capital budget, significant changes year over year between 2018 and 2019. Mm-hmm. We've got a Track-It upgrade. Track-It is the system used by planning and development to manage permits. So that system is 7, 8, 9 years old, looking for either enhancements, improvements, or total replacement. Finance administration, we've got Ceridian Day Force in there for $195,000. We get a charge from Ceridian, we take a piece of that charge, we capitalize it, we take a piece of that charge and put it in our operating expense. So we have really 9 projects in total that make up about 70% of our $1.9 million. Ceridian is one. ERP phase 2 items, these are some items that were not addressed or completed during the implementation. They're almost considered to be enhancements, so future development that we need to do. IT technology refresh, which is a large one, which is about $370,000. This replaces 10 printers, copiers, fax machines, the MFDs that we use, as well as adds in about 250 PCs, refreshes 250 PCs that are end of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that where, are you describing Project 4 countywide infrastructure?
Yes.
Because I'm looking for what you're talking about, and I think it's all in there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Marty, what is your equipment? How often do you rotate out computers? Because there's your cycle for a desktop.
Typically, our cycle is 4 to 5 years. In the last couple of years, what we have done is we've extended the life of those desktops. We've replaced the spinning disk with solid-state drives, added more memory, so we've been able to get another year or two out of those devices. We're kind of in a mode of, I think, that catching up on some of our technology refresh for our PCs. In past years, we haven't asked for this amount of money for technology refresh, but we believe we need to do the catch up on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other discussion?
How many projects were you requested this year that you narrowed it down to from?
I would think we were probably around 100 projects that were requested, and we narrowed it down to 58.
And the other thing, going back to the summers just a little bit, is that something that you initiated or that they initiated, the collaboration with summers?
I think we initiated it. We had a discussion with them. They contacted us. They were having some problems, mm-hmm. and actually it occurred around tax season, receiving payments for taxes. And so they called us, and we started talking with them. And so the next year, we went in and proposed that we could provide services, we could make their life better, easier.
Is a lot of that remote?
Most of it's remote. We do send a technician out there once a week.
Do you see that expanding?
The services? Or
services to Summers and other possible municipalities, too.
Well, we would
if we have the capacity to do it.
Yes, we would like to do that, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Other discussion here?
So another large piece that we pay in our capital budget is Office 365. For everybody's understanding, we have transitioned, Microsoft has transitioned from a purchase license model to a subscription model. So we have to pay for those licenses on a regular basis. So something different.
Is that upgraded on a yearly basis? Is that what they charge you, a yearly fee?
Yes.
Sort of like I do with my home, right?
Yes, exactly.
Does that work out better? You don't end up, you're always working with updated software.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been working very good. About, I guess, 7-8 years ago, we went through the, we did the analysis of looking at hosting it internally versus going to Microsoft in the cloud with Office 365. And it was clear that within 5 to 7 years, we could save $1 million by going to Microsoft. So we didn't have to buy servers, we didn't have to license software, we didn't have to do all those different things, we didn't have to add staff to manage.
I think they bill me $65 a year and they upgrade my phone all the time. I'm always upgraded. It's a good idea.
Yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You looked at the Google price. I know, Gene, we looked at that at the WCA and you said there were some issues with it for the county about
There's functionality issues.
Some functionality, okay. Because it's a little bit more competitive, I think, price, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But is that something you guys will keep an eye on going forward?
Definitely, yes. When we did the transition to Office 365, we looked at Google Docs. Mm-hmm. And certainly their project has matured since then.
Sure.
But we have been very happy with the level of integration that we have with Microsoft.
It's got to work. I know.
Put it on the table.
All right. Anything else?
Those are the big items, and just entertain any questions.
All right. Discussion?
I move we approve the budget.
Second.
All right. Any other discussion? Any other discussion on any of these items? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job,
Mike. All right, then we now move into finance and administration. Patty and Barna.
Gotta be tough on them now.
All right, Matt, and that would be 276 for purchasing.
Yep, Nancy Flynn with purchasing. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you for showing up.
Right on time.
So we are presenting a budget that was very similar to last year. We are still a department of three, and we provide procurement services to all the departments and divisions. Our professional service budget includes the Horton Group for our risk management. They do all of our risk management activities, such as looking at contract language, bonding language, things of that nature. And most of our budget is pretty much just salary, a little bit of staff development, and some pens and some paper. And that's about it. You know, we're not big spenders. We spend everyone else's money.
All right.
We appreciate that.
Are you my wife?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay.
That was painless.
That was painless. All right. What is it? Financial services.
Is this the finance department?
This first section will be the non-departmental. Because there is no service to finance. So the main changes on page 361. You'll notice there are interdepartmental personnel charge of $152,417, the catch-all for all the departments that aren't directly charged to the catch-all charge.
Say that again. I need to track with that.
So as Claire had mentioned, the charging out of HR specialists and the directors go out to the different cost centers, Brookside. This is the piece that would go to the rest of the county specific to the sheriff's department.
361.
And that's the interdepartmental personnel?
Charge.
Okay,
it's
okay.
$152,000. That's the,
thank you.
The big change from the year before. At the bottom of the page there, these are the large revenues that offset the overall county levy. I draw your attention to the sales tax line. We're increasing the sales tax revenue line from $14,025,000 to $14,650,000. That's based on reviewing prior year and current year projections for sales tax and taking into consideration some of the e-commerce expected or potential increased sales tax as a result of that. We budget that figure conservatively. We don't budget it at the high dollar amount expected if we gradually ramp up those revenues. Just as quickly as the economy ramps up, it can whipsaw the other way, and we don't want to end up with it.
So what happens to that money when we go over?
Pardon?
What happens to that money when we go over?
If we go over this year, it flows into the general fund.
I know that.
I know. You're setting me up for the softball.
Wow.
Better than a hardball.
A little softball. You threw a piece of donut there. That's what he's saying.
Was it an old exact?
Knock it out of the park. I learned from Dave. The other line item I would draw your attention to with the indirect cost revenue, human services. We're increasing that from $960,000 to $1.41 million. That's a result of the maximum study. Revenue that we can charge back through the cost allocation. Every year we have them do a study, and sometimes that goes up, sometimes that goes down.
That you should have done the year before.
Not only that, but they do a 2-year look back of expenses. So in that 2-year looking back at 2 years, there were more charges that we can allocate out to funding sources. So that's the extent of the items for non-departmental.
All right, discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Gabe.
Okay, can we go back on the sales taxes?
Sure.
You got 14,650 in there?
Yes.
And there was something that came up from the state or WCA back in, I believe, in June or July, where their estimate was 14,918,836. I mean, why can't we use that? That's what the estimate really came out to. Why are we using 14,600?
That estimate.
Could you say that one? Explain that once again. I'm not sure.
Okay, the state came out from WCA.
Yeah.
On sales tax, it's estimated it's going to be 14,918.
Oh, really? Not 14,650.
836. Well, that was started
in June. So that's 300,000 plus more.
About 300,000. Why can't we use the 14, the number that came out from WCA and maybe use that amount to reduce some of the other costs, whether it's capital or on the budget item?
The estimate that they provide is a starting point. When they sent that list out, it actually says that this is a starting point for every county. Every county has to adjust based on that. So in addition to that, we have to look at current year projection. So for the current year, we're projecting a little over $14,400,000, which is about $375,000 more than what we budgeted for this year. But incorporated as part of that projection, we take the last 4 months of last year and compare it to and project that out to what the 4 months would be for the next 4 months. And of those 4 months, two of those are record high for that month. So we don't want to assume that we're going to have record highs every year for that month. In addition to that, like as I stated, we budget conservatively and don't want to raise it up to the maximum. Looking back at sales tax actual figures, if you look back historically from 15 to 16, we actually the sales tax revenue line item went down 1.6%. From 16 to 17, it went up 3.71%. From 17 to 18, it went up 1.34%. now for 18 to 19, we're budgeting a 4.5% increase. So considering all the different factors together, I think we're still being conservative, but at the same time, we're projecting at what I believe where it will come in.
Ben?
I would like to add one thing that Barna pointed out was, as quickly as sales tax revenue can go up, it can go down. If we experience any kind of economic downturn, people stop spending money and our sales tax revenue decreases. So it's not a line item that we want to project high. We want to project conservatively so that we can absorb the hit if things go down.
But even with the 14.9, I think it's being conservative is the way the economy is going. And you say it's going up 4.5%?
From where? From last year's budgeted 14 million,
14.2,
from 14 million 25,000, we're budgeting at 14 million 650, and that's a 4.5% increase.
So you're projecting according to the book 14 million 250.
14 million
250.
No, that's what we're expecting this year.
Yeah, no, I know, but you're projecting as of December 31st 14 million 250.
Correct, 418.
Yeah. You said 14,450.
Yeah, this was when this was put in there. It was before. This is the most recent projections.
I see. Okay.
If you went back to every county and compared what they budgeted compared to what that estimate from WCA, I would hazard a guess that a great majority of those counties would budget much less than that.
We hope it comes in there.
Yeah, kind of account is a lot better than the other counties this, you know, right now. So I think the 14.9 would be a pretty
good. It's like betting on a horse. It could die before the race is over.
Yeah. Pardon, where's the, so we're projecting 14,250,000 for the end of this year. You budgeted 14,025,000. So 225,000 dollars. Where does that extra money go?
It flows into the general fund.
It goes right to the general fund, so it wouldn't go to help this year to pay down a note or something like that, or not borrow as much. Or
no, okay. It would flow into that percentage.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other discussion on this point? All right, go ahead.
All right, the next one I draw your attention would be the debt service.
Well,
this budget takes into account the county's debt service.
Yeah. Actually,
the amount that the county will be paying for principal is going down from 14,740 to 14,255. The amount we'll be paying down on interest will go up from 2.8 million to 3,044,000. That's offset with premium on the bond that we just sold in August of this year, 488,000. We have 359,000 that we get from the city for their paying their portion of the safety building remodeling, and then reserves of 184,000 that are bond premiums that were left over from the prior year. So at the end of the day, the debt service levy is $16,267,000, which is $933,646 more than last year.
Discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor say aye.
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 Next is the finance budget on page 268.
268. 268.
Sorry, we jumped around a little bit.
Move that, finance is all over the place.
I know. Now, I was told we have to finish by 8:03, so I'll try to cover this rather quickly. This is the,
So.
Page 269 gives the detail for the Division of Finance. As you can see, the division's budget is going down by $171,000. The majority of that is in salaries due to the retirement of our CFO.
You mean Dave left and we saved money?
But he's still got a mailbox back there. I saw that.
Or you could say, he's a shrine after he left, but he's still saving his money.
He's still getting
the
money.
Is that what he said? I bet he did.
We can keep paying.
So the personnel line
seems
is
funny not
down.
Seeing him sitting bracket in his chair, you know?
See, you're supposed to do that.
Contractual is going up slightly, 2.4%, and the majority of the other expenses are not going up much at all. Staff development, we increased by 3,000 because we have some additional training that we would like to do this year. Also included in the Division of Finance are finance personnel in Public Works, which is the next section. The majority of those expenses get charged to finance, but then are passed back out to public works. So there's a slight remaining amount to which you the next business unit is finance and human services. That same model is followed. So the finance staff and human services is charged to this division, and then that is charged back out to human services through interdepartmental charges, which nets out to zero. There is a line item in the finance budget for capital that has decreased. No, that's on the floor. Sorry, that's not in the section. So those are, that is the Division of Finance.
Move to approve.
Second. On discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes. There's anything else?
Page 258. This is the administrative services budget. Administrative services is somewhat a catch-all. There are a couple of items here that we don't fit anywhere else, so we get them. Other professional services is not changing, but this one always surprises me. This is the security staff.
Protecting Terry?
Protecting all of us. Furniture and fixtures, we had money in here. This was the money for the chairs in here, but we are not anticipating any capital expenditures or any additions this year, so that is budgeted at zero this year. This is where office supplies, printing supplies, and subscriptions for the floor come in. So overall, this budget is decreasing by about $9,000.
So these are the people that are at the door of the security or the contract?
Yes.
Anything else?
And that's pretty much it for us.
Any discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? All right, is there anything else on finance? Chair would entertain a
motion to adjourn.
To adjourn until tomorrow night.
Yes. Second.
Mike, hold it here.
I said it was over by 7:55 and 7:55.